Hello and welcome to Java with Sugar, our podcast here at dabsolute. My name is Peter McMullen. I am joined here by my co-host Stephen Shugamar, and today we are going to be exploring our new arc about asset lifecycle management, our seventh arc of the podcast. And we're starting off this episode, as you can see, with making asset lifecycle management easier for you, an introduction to asset lifecycle management. Thank you very much for joining today, and let's get right into things. Now, before we discuss asset lifecycle management in its entirety, I want to make sure that we set a good foundation for the episode. So we're going to look at what a company that doesn't use asset lifecycle management looks like and some certain issues that might arise from that. Stephen, can you potentially give me start us off with an idea of one aspect of a passive approach to asset management?
Sure, passive. So, I mean, any company that's not using an asset lifecycle management process, typically with an enterprise asset management system, it's a nightmare. A lot of hair pulling, a lot of reactivity, a lot of back and forth, a lot of paper, just a lot of trouble, right? It's hard to regulate and to ensure that your assets are in good working condition. It's going to lead to inaccurate data. When was the last time I did maintenance? What is the performance measures on my assets? Are they at risk? Are they safety? Are they in compliance? These are critical questions for a large asset-centric company. And without, an asset lifecycle management process and solutions, these are some of the troubles and hair pulling that you're going to get within this company day in, day out, right? I think the biggest thing is just unplanned downtime, not having your assets work for you, sometimes not even knowing that they're down. These are critical, right? Especially when you're talking about putting lights into a house or putting, gas to a stove. For some of these utility companies, these are major issues to have when you don't have that ALM within your organization, Peter. Is this what you're seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's a great way of kicking off is that aspect of having a solution that works with your asset, that works with you to make sure your assets work for you. And I think another area that we see, like you called out unplanned downtime, you called out some of the information tracking, the data tracking that is inaccurate or just missing in its entirety. And I think another aspect of that kind of path of that missing or inaccurate data is having assets that are on your books that you're paying for that are potentially technologically available, virtually available, but aren't actually physically available. And so that's what the industry calls ghost assets. And it causes a big discrepancy between planned inventory and actual inventory. And that can lead to a lot of issues with actually planning work around those assets. So I think that's a great starting point. Thank you very much for that, of the passive approach to asset management and some of the issues and the pitfalls that we see mixed in there. Now, moving from there, now that we've got a bit of a foundation, I want to break down what asset lifecycle management is into sort of four different stages. And I'll start throwing it to you, Stephen, since I'm the host now and you're helping me out by asking you, so what's that first stage in asset lifecycle management in that process?
Yeah, the first step would always be planning, right? I mean, it's planning your technological landscape with your enterprise asset management system, ensuring that you're getting all of that data, the virtual representation of your assets in your software. And then likewise, making sure the actual physical asset is matched up. I'm talking about SKUs, IDs, install dates, warranties, anything of that sort. That includes the monetary value as well, right? I mean, how much did you pay for that asset? How much is this asset supposed to be yielding in terms of revenue, in terms of performance? It's making sure that, going forward, all your forecasting, all your revenue, all your maintenance cycles, they're all in line, right? That's really the planning phase. A lot of the times, I mean, this is a long phase as well, right? It takes some time to set up the software, and it takes some time to do inventory to go out there and kind of bookkeep, right? All your physical assets as well. This is especially cumbersome when you are transitioning an EAM or onboarding an EAM when you already have many legacy assets, decades old within your arsenal. So definitely planning is a critical step. It's an important step. I think it's also an underrated step.
Absolutely. No, I agree. After planning, we get into actually procuring the asset that we're discussing, that you're managing its life cycle and installing it. And this is once you've got that plan, at Stephen, as you called out, once you've set everything up in your system of record, this process is a lot easier because it's just a matter of choosing what you want, choosing what you need, obtaining it, and then logging all the requisite information in that solution to set yourself up for a manageable future, right? We talked about that passive approach lacking or having inaccurate data. It's important after creating this plan, after having everything laid out properly, to actually follow through, log all the necessary data so that your approach, your plan can start to take effect with everything it needs to make decisions down the road. And with that kind of leading into that next step, Stephen, I'll pass it over to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, using, maintaining, it's the daily operations, right, of your business, of the ALM, following the life cycle, right? Doing your maintenance, making sure you're doing your certifications, your inspections, and your audits. It's really the day-to-day life, right? I think the technology takes a bigger role here, whether it's an enterprise asset management system, an enterprise resource planning system, or even a computerized maintenance management system. All of these are going to help you with that plan and also log in the data, like you said, on the daily operations part of it as well, right? This is where the bulk of ALM type of activities live, might move through these phases slowly, but it's important that it's upkept into that life cycle as well.
Absolutely. And then when we hit the end, that final point of our asset lifecycle management, it's another similar to what you called out on planning. It's another what I feel is underrated step, disposing and replacing of your asset. And this seems like a fairly easy thing to do. You get rid of it at a certain point. You find an asset that is maybe the newer version, or you go hunting for a new asset that, does certain things that you recognized were lacking in your previous version. But the important thing in asset lifecycle management here is that you find when the asset you're currently using hits its point of zero return on investment, right? That it starts to be a money sink to your organization and that it's not being as productive as it needs to be to match your expectations. So, setting yourself up for success is recognizing when you need to dispose of your current asset and replace it to bring that efficiency back up to your normal expectations. So those are the four different stages as we see it of how asset lifecycle management works: planning, curing and installing, using and maintaining, and finally disposing and replacing. Now that we've got that foundation of what a passive approach looks like, we understand the different steps, the different aspects of asset lifecycle management. Let's talk about some of the benefits that we see, right? What's the point? Why is it important to perform asset lifecycle management? Stephen, what's your favorite kind of benefit from ALM?
Yeah, I think, extending the life, right? It's funny how we're coming right off the disposal on the last step there above, but we all want to make sure that our investments, our assets, they live as long as they can, right? A lot of the times these are multi-million dollar equipment, and when we're going out to purchase things of that level of monetary value, you want to get the most out of it, right? You're usually putting a business case in for 5, 10, 20 years, 30, 50 years even, right? So making sure that we can hit those thresholds, I think is a big one, right? So following the maintenance cycle, understanding the rule book, right? The instruction manual, setting up its warranty with the vendor, the manufacturer. These are critical steps when you're procuring and installing these assets as well. That's a great benefit of an ALM process.
100%. And so on one side, you've got extending the lifespan. I think on my end, I really see a benefit from the amount of downtime that you see from that asset, the amount of maintenance costs that might go into that asset by being proactive, by, as you said, like reading the user manual, setting yourself up properly in the beginning, you can begin to recognize the most efficient way to work with this asset throughout its life. And that means that you're not overdoing it on maintenance to make sure that it never goes down. You're not underdoing it and therefore having extended periods of downtime where potentially other areas of your business might falter because of that. And you are finding that, you're threading the needle appropriately to find that perfect, walk that line perfectly, and get the best use for the least amount of cost on your end. Stephen, I'll pass it over to you for one last benefit, and then we'll make sure to wrap up the episode.
Yeah, I would say operational efficiency, operational excellence, right? This is just trying to squeeze everything out of it, but also just letting the ALM do its thing, right? Set up the alerts, set up the schedules, set up the reminders, whatever that is, and just let the ALM process and the equivalent systems work for you, right? It's not about making sure everything's been done. I think the system will let you know when things should be done and when things shouldn't be done, right? And what the domino effect might be if you risk doing things early or late. So I think that efficiency part of it lets the people focus more so on growth, on critical items like safety and compliance, and of course, revenue growth, and just letting, your machines and your equipment run and work for you. So I think efficiency is always that piece that everybody is wanting, can be hard to measure sometimes. But I think by setting up the proper process and having the correct data in the system, this is where you're going to get that operational excellence that a lot of companies out there in many industries are looking for, Peter.
Yeah, that's another great benefit. And on that note, I'll work to finish this episode efficiently. So thank you very much. This is the end of our episode. Just as a recap, we went over what a company not using asset lifecycle management looks like, what the different aspects of asset lifecycle management are, and then some of the benefits of using ALM. Thank you very much, Stephen, for joining me today. Next time, we'll be discussing leveraging maintenance plans and the IoT for asset lifecycle management. And I'll have a guest, Derek, who will be on the podcast for his first time. Just as a reminder, subscribe to get more email reminders when new episodes are out. Follow the podcast LinkedIn page to stay up to date. Visit the dabsolute website for information about us and contact us for any custom demos, especially in the area of asset lifecycle management that you might care to have. Thank you again for listening and have a great rest of your day.
Take care.